Hi everyone! Before we dive into this week's episode, please check out our promo of the week.
Hi there! I'm Megan.
And I'm Danielle.
And we are Crime and Roses.
We are a true crime and bachelor franchise recap podcast.
Yeah, we're both.
We are two Georgia attorneys watching and recapping all things Bachelor just for you.
So we're talking Bachelor, Bachelorette,
Bachelor in Paradise, Winter Games, Summer Games, all the games.
Basically any show that ABC comes up with and forces us to watch, and then we'll release a true crime episode connected to what we've seen on the show that week.
So if you don't like true crime, we have The Bachelor. And if you don't like The Bachelor, we have True Crime.
And if you don't like either,
we're probably not the podcast for you, and that's okay.
So, if you're into one of those things, both of those things, come check us out as we combine our two favorite things into one-stop listening shop for you.
So find us on your favorite podcatcher and on social media at Crime and Roses, and email us at crimeandroses@gmail.com.
Bye, love you, mean it.
Hi, I'm Laura.
And I'm Joe.
And this is Crime Divers.
Welcome to today's episode.
Hello everyone.
So before we start, Laura has an update.
I do have an update. So as you are hopefully aware now, we do a missing person every week. So we obviously do get updates from them. So we like to let you guys know.
Yeah.
To keep you in the loop. So we do have a couple updates today. And the first one is Jamie Cannon, who sadly his body was found a few days ago.
Yeah.
So unfortunately that's not been good news for that family.
No, our thoughts and prayers go out to his friends and family.
I know, rest in peace. He was only 19.
Yeah.
So. Sad news there. But we also have Jennifer Barnett Hughes, who she has actually been found safe and well.
Well, that's good then. At least there's a little bit of good news there.
Exactly.
Yeah. But as Laura says, we just like to give you, when we find out updates, you know, we'd just like to let you know. Because obviously that's the point in us
doing missing people.
Yeah. So for this week's missing person, I'm actually not going to do on this episode.
Oh, okay.
It's a little bit longer than normal because there's sort of there is a backstory to it.
Right.
So what I'm going to do is, it will be just a short episode. Basically what I'm going to do is put on a separate episode, which it's not going to be a long episode. I mean, we're talking about maybe what, 10 minutes, you know, but what I'll do is we'll record after this one, and we'll just release it at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, we'll just release it at the same time as this episode, so there'll be, you know, the two episodes.
Yeah.
So if you're listening at this, you'll actually see that the other episode is actually already there. Yeah.
So please, if you could give it a listen.
Yeah, of course. If you could give it a listen, the missing child is Oakley Carlson. So if you could give it a listen, and on it, I will mention, you know, there's a Facebook page and, you know, if you could give them support, anything like that. But for now, do you want to just get on with this case?
Yep. So what's this one called?
This one's called Death Island.
Oh, okay. Interesting tale. And where is it? Is it on an island?
We're in Thailand.
Thailand?
Yeah. So we're on an island in Thailand.
Cool.
Oh, an island in Thailand.
Can I rhyme a bit?
Yeah. So do you want to dive in?
Let's dive in.
Yeah, so Koh Tao is an island located in southern Thailand. It's a haven for young backpackers. It's 250 miles from the Thai capital, Bangkok. And like more than 500,000 travellers go there every year. And they're drawn to the beaches, the nightlife. It's known for its like marine life and scuba diving. And, you know, it just...
place
like,
to go, good place
well,
to go.
Paradise. It looks like paradise.
Yeah.
You notice I said looks.
Looks. Oh, yeah. Okay, it's meant to be paradise.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's not going to be for somebody, or maybe even
quite a few people, actually, but, you know, we'll get on to that. So, Hannah Witheridge was 23, and she was from Hemsby in Norfolk, England. And she was on a break from a postgraduate degree in speech and language therapy at the University of Essex. She wanted to go to Thailand, but her family tried to persuade her not to go as they were worried for her safety. But one day she was like, you know what? I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
And she had booked tickets and that was it. So
I'm thinking sadly her parents' family might have been right in well, yeah. for her safety.
So she arrived on the island of Koh Tao with three friends on the 25th of August 2014. So David Miller, he arrived on the same day. He was 24 and he was from Jersey. He had just completed his undergraduate degree in civil and structural engineering at the University of Leeds and was starting a master's degree. He was travelling Southeast Asia with a friend after completing a six-week work placement in Australia with a mining company. So these are two separate people, don't know each other.
Right.
But they do now, because one night Hannah and David met when they were both attending a full moon party, and it turned out that they were staying in the same hotel.
Okay.
So the two parties, you know, the girls and the boys, they became friendly and started hanging out. At around 7 p.m. on the 14th of September, they had drinks in a bar on Sairi Beach, and just after midnight, the group went in different directions. Hannah and three of her three friends, they headed to another beachfront bar known as the AC Bar. On CCTV, David was seen at a supermarket and he was also seen chatting to people on the street. Mm-hmm. And then at 2 a.m, he joined Hannah and her friends at the bar. At some point, after 2:15 a.m, Hannah and David left the bar and walked along the beach.
Right.
Now, I'm not sure if they were actually, like, romantically.
Mm-hmm.
With each other, because obviously they've just not long met each other.
Yeah.
So they might just be friends, but when I was researching it, always, you know, it refers to them as a couple, but I don't know if it refers to them just as a couple of people
or a couple
as in
a relationship
couple. So I'm not too sure.
I mean, if it is, it's obviously like very early days.
Well, yeah,
it could be like a holiday romance or such.
Yeah. And it really doesn't matter in any way, but I was just in case you were wondering if they were actually together or not. I don't know.
Yeah. Fair enough.
So, the following morning, just after sunrise, a local hotel owner was woken up by one of his employees. She was in shock and panicking and told him to get up. He followed her down to the beach and saw two dead bodies on the sand. Hannah's body was close to the shore. Mm-hmm. She had been brutally attacked and appeared to have been raped. 12 metres away from her, floating in the shallow water, they saw David's body.
Mm-hmm.
And he had severe head wounds. A garden hoe covered in blood was found nearby. So, a bit strange that you would leave the murder weapon there, but...
Yeah.
So, Thai police opened a murder investigation, but there were only six officers on the island.
Oh, really?
And, yeah.
Wow.
And they didn't get off to a good start. They struggled to control the crime scene. Strangers were wandering across restricted areas, and bystanders were taking photos of the bodies and posting them on social media.
No way.
Yeah, I mean, like, how horrific is that?
Why would you do that? I don't ever understand why people would do that.
I understand that people have, like, a sort of morbid fascination with sort of... look at us, we're doing a true crime podcast. So we do, like, sort of have an interest, but never would I think of taking a photo of a dead body and posting it on social media. For one thing, that's just gross. Mm. And another thing, how disrespectful is that to the actual deceased and to their families? Yeah, I mean, imagine if you went online and saw that.
Yeah, imagine if that's how you found out as well. That's horrible.
I mean, like, you know, you even see photos online of crowds of people, like, round the crime scene.
Oh, so you still see them on social media, like?
I don't know if it's on social media, but I obviously, when I was Googling the case, I saw photos.
Right, okay.
And I saw photos of the like crowds sort of standing round the crime scene and people just wandering about.
Right, okay.
It's just
I mean, normally, you know, the police wouldn't even let people near sort of crime scenes and stuff. They would be
But do you know what's really infuriating? It's like people like us, just normal people who have no, we're not involved in the authorities, you know, we're not police or anything, but we know that you need to seal off a crime scene.
Well, yeah.
And you don't let people just wander over it, you don't let people take photos, you don't do that. So these, there's only six officers on the island and are not maybe used to dealing with this, but surely they must have some knowledge.
Well, yeah, because they're police officers at the end of the day.
Exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if we know that.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, as you said, I mean, yes, there's only six of them. So I get that, that it's probably not quite easy, but I mean, I would assume they would be phoning in reinforcements, yeah, etc. And I know that they're not there instantly, but, you know,
You'd think that they would be able to just seal off the crime scene, don't let anybody near it.
I just wonder whether they, I mean, I have no idea about things in Thailand and what they have and don't have, but you'd think, do they not even have, like, you know, crime tape that they put
around? I would assume so, but yeah. I don't think, they just didn't seem to have any control.
Yeah.
You know, I think people were just kind of wandering over and, you know, because they're being nosy and seeing what's happening and...
Yeah, crazy.
Awful. So the chaotic scenes didn't go down well in Bangkok, as the police's handling of the case threatened to embarrass Thailand. And I just find that a bit crass. Like, oh, we're embarrassing Thailand. Like, just think of these...
Two poor kids, really, or young people, that, you know, have, you know, been on a holiday of a lifetime, potentially, and they've lost their lives for whatever reason.
The police's handling of the case, they should be... not worried about it threatening to embarrass Thailand. They should be worried about how it's affecting the actual crime, like, as with regards to evidence and stuff like that, and finding out who the murderer was. And, you know, obviously the handling of the case with regards to the deceased's family and stuff. Like, not just to embarrass Thailand.
It's not about them.
Exactly. So a senior officer was sent from the police headquarters in Bangkok to take over. And, you know, he did apologise, like, to the families, and because some confidential information that leaked out was really bad. I don't know what, but there's obviously information being leaked, and especially the photos of the victims. So, because obviously that traumatised the families. I mean, I mean, did they see the pictures? I don't know, but I certainly wouldn't want to see the pictures.
No, definitely not.
So despite... the problems at the crime scene, the police focused on the forensic evidence. Tests were run on cigarette butts, the murder weapon, and David and Hannah's bodies. The results revealed a crucial lead, as officers said that they had found the DNA profiles of two Asian men.
Right.
So there were now 60 officers on the island, so that's a bit better rather than six.
Uh-huh.
And they took swabs from as many Asian men as possible. So, rumours were circulating about powerful local families who were called the Koh Tao Mafia by some of the residents.
Mm.
And these families, you know, they have a lot of control over the island, like who comes and goes, and like over money and things like that. And one family linked to the murders on social media, it was the Tuvichians.
Mm-hmm.
We're in Thailand, there's hard names to pronounce, yes. So... I should have just kind of mentioned that from the start. I do apologise. Mm-hmm. I'll probably get them wrong. But I'm trying.
Mm-hmm.
And they own more businesses on Sairi Beach than any other family. And it was actually a member of that family. His name was Montriwat, who was the hotel manager whose employee came to get him up.
Mm-hmm.
And he is known as being the first person to see the bodies.
Right.
So I'm not actually sure what his employee saw, because she had run into his room panicking and told him to get up and showed him where to go to find the bodies.
Yeah.
So, but
unless she was from, like, a distance or something, or...
I've written here, maybe she only saw from a distance or something. See me and you? We're psychic.
And no, we think the same thing.
That's a bit scary.
That's a bit scary.
But yeah, so, like, maybe she only seen from a distance or, you know, I don't know, maybe she just saw something and...
Well, she could have seen one of the bodies floating in the water, maybe, and then maybe she thought, oh, there's something happened there.
Yeah.
And then obviously seen, you know, the other body on the beach, so maybe she has just seen from a distance or something.
Yeah, because he, you know, he maybe basically...
He was the first one, like, right up close.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because that's what it says. I mean, it does say he was the first person to see the bodies, so... Yeah, that's probably the case. So Montriwat was seen in a restricted area as the police gathered forensic evidence. He said he didn't touch anything else, so he didn't see that he was doing anything wrong.
It's in the restricted area.
Yeah, exactly. You're in a restricted area. You just said that yourself. You're in a restricted area. But because he was the first person to see the bodies, they questioned him, and they did think that he might be involved in the murders. But a week later, Montriwat... I really hope I'm saying that name right, because it just sounds... I don't know.
I can't help you.
No. He confronted a potential witness. So there was this guy called Sean McKenna, who was friends with the victim, David Miller.
Right.
He was actually Scottish. Just thought I would mention that. Nowhere near us, but no, I can't even remember where he was from.
He was just Scottish.
He was just Scottish. Could have been like Lanarkshire or Ayrshire. I think it Addyshire. I don't know. Okay. Doesn't matter.
No. Irrelevant.
Yeah, I bring up irrelevant things a lot. Yeah, so this Sean McKenna, he spoke to the Sun newspaper and on the 5th of July 2017. And it says that Sean was in a local bar and he was discussing the murders with someone else.
Right.
Montrewa and two other men overheard him and said to Sean, "We know you killed them. You're going to hang yourself tonight and we're going to watch you hang. You will die tonight."
Okay.
So Sean just got up and ran.
Uh-huh.
The men chased him into a supermarket, and when he was sort of hiding in the supermarket, and he posted on Facebook, "Thai mafia are trying to kill me. Please help."
Oh, wow, okay.
And like Sean said, like, "I genuinely thought I was going to die."
Mm-hmm.
They would have taken me to the hills to hang me and make it look like it was a suicide.
Right.
Like, I think they needed a scapegoat. I think they might know who the killers are.
Mm-hmm.
They need a scapegoat and they don't want it to be locals. They want it to be a Westerner.
Uh-huh.
So if I kill myself here, then it's easy to say, see, it was him.
Yeah.
So Sean said that the police were eventually called and they escorted him to his hotel. But he actually fled because he was scared in case the police were corrupt and would tell the mafia where he was staying.
Mm-hmm.
So he hid in the jungle for the rest of the night and then he got a boat off the island to safety the following day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's how scared he was. He was like,
scary, yeah.
But Montrewa, he disagreed when he was questioned about it. He was like, no, he said Sean ran away when he started asking questions. So Montrewa must have heard him discussing the murders and has asked him about it,
mm-hmm.
and Sean's just got up and ran.
Right, okay.
He said that Sean had blood on him and he asked where the blood came from. That's where, obviously, that was before he ran.
Mm-hmm.
He asked him where the blood came from, but Sean didn't answer. He ran from the bar and into the supermarket.
Right.
This is Montre Watts.
Uh-huh.
Sorry. Montre Watts said that he was with two policemen. That, you know, I said he was with two other guys. Mm-hmm. He said they were policemen. And they were, and they ran after Sean because, saying that they were suspicious of him because he ran.
Uh-huh.
So Sean obviously denied any involvement in the murders. Mm-hmm. David was his friend.
Yeah.
He said he had a cut on his body, but that had occurred before the murders.
Right.
And he said that he cooperated with the police and he did believe that the threat to kill him was genuine. So mm-hmm. he was just like, nah, I need to go.
Yeah, totally.
And he must have been ruled out anyway. As I said, like, the DNA profiles were of two Asian men and he was Scottish. He was white, he was Scottish.
Yeah,
so
it definitely couldn't have been him.
Yeah. So the police were still trying to identify the DNA profiles of the two Asian men. So they focused on the Burmese migrant community. So there's actually more Burmese than Thai people on Koh Tao.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the ones doing the jobs, like, in hotels and bars. And, you know, many of them enter the country illegally.
Right.
So the Burmese are treated poorly by the Thais.
Mm-hmm.
And according to Andy Hall, who is a migrant rights campaigner, he said, quote, "They are very much unrespected, unwelcome and unwanted. So people take from them what they need in terms of their physical labour, their manual labour, but they don't give them the rights. And they're very high risk of exploitation, abuse, whether by brokers, by their employers or by corrupt officials," end quote. So, 13 days after the murder, Andy Hall, the migrant rights campaigner, mm-hmm. he got reports that the police were brutally targeting the Burmese.
Were they, like, trying...
By torturing them and...
So they were trying to, like, set them up and make them a scapegoat? Like,
pretty much, yeah. That's where we're going with this.
Mm-hmm.
So they were brutally targeting the Burmese by torturing and abusing them as part of the investigation into the case. So Andy sent a team to the island to gather information, and they got photos and documents to show that people were being abused. But, of course, the police just denied all accusations.
Mm-hmm.
A few days later, officers identified three Burmese migrants spotted on CCTV near the crime scene. Okay, I'm sorry if I get these names wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Mum Mong, Zorlin and Wei Pio.
Okay.
They were taken in for questioning and the men admitted that they were on Sairi Beach on the night of the murders. Mong
mm-hmm.
Mong was released, but the other two were arrested on immigration offences.
Okay.
So neither of them had a lawyer and at this stage they were only witnesses in the murder investigation. But I watched a documentary
mm-hmm.
And it shows a police video that had never been broadcast before. And in this video, you see the two men, Zorlin and WPO.
Mm-hmm.
And WPO is apparently, like, reconstructing the crimes to officers. So the police said that both men had confessed by this point.
Mm-hmm.
So WPO was sort of saying, well, I did this and I did that.
Right.
And then you see Zorlin with a garden hoe acting out how he killed the victims, and the officers are asking him questions like, where did you strike from? Which position were you standing in?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all that kind of stuff. However, WPO claimed that he was tortured by the police hours before that was filmed. So, like, so obviously later on, yeah, he says, no.
So, Jake, they were made to do it? Am I just
wait.
Sorry.
Hold your horses, woman.
Sorry.
He said that his testicles were pinned and he was in a lot of pain. He was left naked in a room with lots of officers taking photos of him. He claimed that he was sexually assaulted, abused, beaten, threatened to be electrocuted, to be burnt, and to be thrown in the middle of the ocean. Okay. And Zorlin also claimed that he was tortured, but the police said that they were confident that these men were the killers because of two crucial pieces of evidence.
Mm-hmm.
First, they claimed that the men were a perfect match to the DNA found at the crime scene and on Hannah's body. Second, officers believed that they could prove that WPO stole David's phone.
Right.
They did find an iPhone at an address linked to the men, and WPO told them that he found it on the beach.
Right.
And it was proved that it belonged to David by the serial number on it, so uh-huh, it was David's phone, but he said he found it on the beach.
Right, okay.
So, just over 2 weeks after Hannah and David's murders, Zorlin and WPO were charged with murder and rape. But there were still questions over the conduct of the police, like with the allegations of abuse and torture. So Andy Hall, the migrant rights worker,
mm-hmm,
migrant rights campaigner, took up the case, and he put together a legal team and went to Kotow to investigate. He met the alleged killers, who were both in their early 20s, and Andy said they were in a bad state because they were shackled and kept in a room 24 hours a day.
Oh, wow.
Apparently because they were at risk of either killing themselves or killing other people. So they were just shackled and put in a room.
Jesus, that sounds awful.
It does, doesn't it? I mean, like, give them some fresh air, let them out for a bit.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And get some exercise.
Yeah, or... that's awful. So they both told Andy that they only confessed to the crimes after being tortured by the police. So 18 days after their arrest, they withdrew their confessions.
Right.
So Zorlin described his experience, and he said that they put plastic over his head and kicked his face, and they would punch and kick his chest.
Mm.
He said that police told him that if he didn't confess, they would kill him.
Mm-hmm.
WPO said the police told him to confess, and when he said he wouldn't, they told him that they would put him inside used tyres and burn him to death.
Oh, lovely.
Another threat that they would was that they would cut off his hands and legs, and another was to throw him in the sea.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, they were both told that if they confessed, they would only get 1 or 2 years in prison. So to them, I mean, this is their, again, this is their version. Remember, we don't know, mm-hmm, if this is actually true,
mm-hmm,
but they said that obviously 1 or 2 years in prison is better than being killed.
Well, of course,
which is why they confessed.
Yeah,
according to them.
But then I take it they mustn't have been very clever on the in law and stuff like that to know that if you murdered somebody, you would probably get a lot more.
Well, I don't know. So in July 2015, Zorlin and WPO stood trial. The prosecution built their arguments around the DNA samples from Hannah's body, which was damning evidence against them. They claimed repeatedly in court that the men were 100% match. Andy Hall disagreed, as DNA doesn't work in that way. Nothing's ever 100%.
No, it's normally hear, like, it's like 99.9% or...
Yeah, and like DNA is very complex, and like even just the speed that it was tested, it was questionable.
Mm-hmm.
So the defence... The defence refused to retest the samples from Hannah's body because they said it wasn't collected or stored to international standards. So they're like, well, what's the point in retesting it? Because it's not, it's, well, as I said, it's not being stored properly or, you know, so there's no point. That's not going to work. So the point was reinforced in court by their forensic expert. And I'm sorry, I'm going to get this name so wrong.
Okay, I've got a good try though.
Dr. Pornthip Rojana Sinand. Rojana Sinand. Her name's Pornthip. That the surname is Rojana Sinand.
Right.
So Dr. Pornthip, she claimed the police made a number of errors at the crime scene, including failing to use a forensic doctor. She said, quote, the person who was examining the crime scene had no forensic knowledge. This case is very complicated. There are two bodies and lots of issues. Like, you know, obviously, how did they die? Where did they die? Did they die together? Are there any other places to investigate? Mm-hmm. The investigator must be able to study the detail of the corpse. That person must be a forensic doctor. End quote. And it wasn't, obviously.
No.
So the defence also argued that the police failed to test a number of items from the crime scene, including blood on the rocks and sand and Hannah's clothes. But the crucial issue, they said, was the murder weapon. So Dr. Pornthip revealed to the court that she had retested the garden hoe, and she said she found DNA from David Miller and another unknown male who was neither Zora Lynn or WPO. So that's quite a big thing.
Well, yeah, that's massive.
The murder weapon didn't have the accused DNA on it.
Oh, exactly. And obviously, it would have to if it was them, didn't it?
Exactly. I mean, they said, you know, as well, like, this is the murder weapon. They would have, the murderer would have had to have a good grip on it to sort of hit with the force that would be needed, you know, to kill somebody.
Yeah.
So the surely that DNA would have, the murderer's DNA would be on it.
Well, unless they're wearing gloves, but I mean that. I mean, there's somebody else's DNA there.
Yeah, there is somebody else's.
It's not like it was just like solely David's DNA. There is actually somebody else's DNA on there.
But they mustn't have tested that DNA. I don't know why. So the defence saw this as a breakthrough, but the police insisted that the forensic evidence was up to scratch. So they were obviously going, no, we're not going to test that other DNA, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Well, exactly. Hasn't everybody got the right to a fair trial and of all evidence and stuff?
But obviously, I mean, we have to remember that apparently the two accused, their DNA was on Hannah's body. So when asked how their DNA got onto Hannah's body, Zora Lynn and WPO said, we don't know, that is impossible, because we did not commit that crime. We didn't. We were never near that girl. We didn't know her.
Never met her.
We never met her. So
how has it happened?
So the court adjourned after 3 months, and the prosecution wanted the death penalty, and there was no jury. So the fate of the two men lay with three judges. So on the 24th of December 2015, they were both found guilty and sentenced to the death penalty. So the online activist group called Anonymous, you know, the ones that have like the Guy Fawkes masks on and that, they hacked and crashed the Thai police website. Because they were in support of the two men, So, and then they recorded a video saying that it had come to their attention that a Thai court in Thailand had recently sentenced two Burmese migrants to be executed, and they accused the police of framing the men. They also said that the Thai police had accused innocent people before and would rather blame foreigners or migrants for such crimes so as to protect their tourism industry. So now, like, David Miller's family, they had been in support of convicting the two men. But when Anonymous's video came out, Hannah's sister, Laura, she was in support of Anonymous. Like, she actually wrote a post on Facebook attacking Thailand and endorsing the video. Like, part of it said, many Thais hate Westerners and they have little to no regard for human life. And she went on to talk about other suspicious deaths on Koh Tao. So I looked into that, and Koh Tao has actually been nicknamed as Death Island.
Right.
Which I'll get onto that in a minute. Obviously, there's a reason why it's been called Death Island, so I'll get onto that in a minute. So attempts to appeal Zora Lynn and WPO's sentences to the High Court were unsuccessful. The Supreme Court of Thailand upheld the sentence in August 2019, stating that the police handled the case correctly and the forensic evidence was clear, credible and detailed. But a year later, on the 14th of August, 2020, their death sentences were changed to life imprisonment. Following a royal decree to commemorate the King of Thailand's birthday and to illustrate the King's clemency.
Right.
So, basically, they have been...
So they're still in prison now, then?
Yeah, they have been convicted.
Oh, you're going to tell me that they didn't do it and they got off.
Well, I don't know if they did it or not. They have been accused of doing it.
Right.
Whether they did it or not, they're serving the time for it.
Mm-hmm.
But...
We're not sure.
I mean, like, the only evidence is the fact that they're saying that the DNA, their DNA was on Hannah's body.
Uh-huh.
But that could have been either planned. No, it could have been planted. Could it? They could have just said that, though. If the police are corrupt.
Well, yeah, exactly. The police could have said anything.
The police could say anything, which is a really scary thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think, oh, maybe they're just saying that they were forced to confess. But the thing that gets me is the fact that their DNA, neither of their DNA was on the murder weapon and somebody else's DNA was.
Exactly.
I mean, like, that other person whose DNA was on the weapon, it could have been the person who owned the garden wall.
I mean, it might not necessarily have been the killer, but...
But it's just strange that...
Why has that not been investigated or at least... Whose DNA is that?
That DNA should have been tested.
Yeah, exactly. You know, to sort of either rule out or get another suspect in play.
Of course. So, I don't know if they did it or not.
Oh.
Do you? Do you know? Obviously, you don't know. But what do you think they did or not?
Well, I can't say I'm confident in that because, you know, obviously by what you're saying about the Burmese being described, you know, they're not very liked by the Thai people. You know, if there is a sort of mafia type people, has somebody done it? And these two guys have just been, you know, made to look like they did it so that whoever really did it, you know, got away with it. But I was kind of hoping you would be telling me why they got killed, at least. And you're not going to tell me that either.
No, because I don't know, because we don't know who did it.
Yeah.
Because obviously the people who have been convicted of it are denying it. So obviously they can't give a reason for killing them.
I think, you know... You know, you're supposed to trust in the justice system and stuff like that. But I truly believe that there are some corrupt justice systems out there. And, you know, especially in those kind of places where, you know, like in Thailand and countries like that, you know, I think that probably is quite a thing.
Well, when you listen to what I'm about to tell you, then, yeah, you're going to probably think that they're pretty corrupt over there.
Yeah.
So... The reasons why Koh Tao is called Death Island. There's an IT manager called Ben Harrington, aged 32, from the UK, and he broke his neck when he crashed into an electricity pylon on a nighttime moped ride in August 2012. His mum believes that he was mugged as his watch and his wallet were missing. And a UK autopsy later discovered Ben died of a transected aorta, which is a rupture of the body's largest artery rather than a broken neck.
Right, okay.
So that just seems a bit dodgy.
Mm-hmm.
8 months before Hannah and David were murdered, Nick Pearson, aged 25 from the UK, was found floating in an island bay at the bottom of a 50-foot drop on New Year's Day 2014. So the Pearsons were on a family holiday. And after a night out on Sairy Beach, they returned to their hotel about 2 a.m. So Nick was pretty drunk and he was limping because he hurt his leg a couple of days before. So his dad and his brother helped him to get into his room. They helped him get undressed and, you know, put him to his bed. So like, right, you're drunk.
Yeah.
You know.
To your bed.
Yeah, been there, done that.
Yeah.
So the next day... is when he was found in the bay at the bottom of the hotel.
Right.
He was wearing the same underwear that he had worn to bed
mm-hmm.
The night before, and his key was still inside his room.
Ooh.
So an autopsy revealed that he had no broken bones, so that suggests that he didn't actually fall.
Because you would think that he would have...
Because it was a 50-foot drop.
Oh, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so and it also didn't make any sense, because if he had fallen... There was actually like this big rock like so far down. So if he had fell, he would have landed on that rock, and that would have stopped him from falling into the water.
Mm-hmm.
So the police concluded that Nick had drowned and ruled out foul play. but his family think that he might have been murdered. Mm-hmm. So the night before, but the night that he was drunk, he had been warned off chatting to a young Thai woman in a bar.
Right.
But the Pearsons feel that the police didn't do enough to investigate that. Mm. They said that they didn't even look in his hotel room. They didn't interview any witnesses. They were just like, no, he drowned.
Drowned.
Yeah. Nick's brother, he had lived in Thailand for 4 years. And he says that he loves the country, but he believes that Koh Tao has no rule of law. He said, quote, "When you arrive by boat to Koh Tao, all you can see are these beautiful hills, green trees, blue skies, blue ocean, beautiful sandy beaches. It's paradise." Mm. "But it seems like that's all a front, really, for the deeper, dark things that are happening, which we found out the hard way, that the island is obviously run by the mafia." Mm-hmm. End quote. Another guy, Dimitri Povs, sorry, he's French. Mm-hmm. So he was 29, from France. Mm-hmm. And he was found hanged in a bungalow on the island on New Year's Day 2015. His death was ruled as a suicide, because, you know, you're hanging. Mm-hmm. But police couldn't explain why his hands were tied behind his back. How could you hang yourself if your hands are tied behind your back?
Well, exactly.
But they ruled as a suicide.
Okay.
Also in January 2015, Christina Annesley, she was 23, from the UK, was said to have died of natural causes after mixing antibiotics that she was taking for a chest infection with alcohol. However, no toxicology report mm-hmm. was conducted.
Oh.
Yeah, like...
So did you watch that? They're just taking somebody's word for it, or they just found...
I don't know, but...
antibiotics.
But that's how she died.
All right.
In February 2015, so that's just a month later, mm-hmm. Valentina Novosukhanova, she was 23, from Russia. She vanished from her hostel. I might have written that wrong. I don't know if it was hostel or hotel. I don't think they have hostels. Do you think they would have hostels?
Well she's backpackers.
I don't, from her accommodation.
Uh-huh.
She had checked in on the 11th and was due to check out on the 16th, but she didn't. Staff checked her room and her phone, passport and camera had all been left behind. She still hasn't been found.
Oh, right,
okay. So she's just vanished.
Right.
On the 8th of January 2016, Luke Miller, aged 26, from the UK, was found at the bottom of a swimming pool at the Sunset Bar at Sairy Beach. His mum thinks that he was killed in a fight and accused the Thai police of a cover-up. His death was recorded as an open verdict. Mm. On the 28th of April 2017, Elise Dalamin, aged 30, was found hanged in the hills, and her family believes someone else is involved. Bernd Grotsch was German, but lived on Koh Tao. He was 47, and his body was found at his home. Authorities told his family that he died of heart failure or had been bitten by a snake, but they don't believe that.
Okay.
The family claim the circumstances surrounding his death and the local police's refusal to cooperate with them have led to them to believe that the death was suspicious. Mm-hmm. So Koh Tao is obviously struggling to keep its image as a holiday paradise.
I'll certainly not be going there.
But the mayor of Koh Tao, he says that many of the tourists who have died are responsible for their own downfall. He said, quote, "These foreigners who come to Thailand, they live the lifestyle they do without realising that it's not their country. They are not allowed to do as they wish. There is a difference between our culture and their culture. So when these foreigners live according to their culture, this leads to accidents and risks to their lives. For example, taking an overdose or driving a car or a motorbike too fast, leading to an accident. Going diving without taking any safety precautions and many other things. It all depends on fate. However, most of the incidents I've come across, the foreigners were dead drunk and cannot even recall what happened. I would say this was one of the main problems." End quote. Now, what a sympathetic mayor that is, for a start.
Uh-huh.
He's basically blaming their deaths
on themselves,
but like saying... Oh, I don't know, just...
Well, I just think that... I'm sorry, but if you're a holiday destination for people. You're obviously, you're opening up your island for that because you want people to come. You provide them with drinks and entertainment and stuff like that. So you're going to probably encourage these people to spend their money. So how can you say that that's all their fault? I mean, you're providing a place for them to do the things that they obviously want to do.
Well, yeah, that's what I said, like, when I first started the episode. Like, Koh Tao, a part of its attraction is that it's the nightlife, the, you know...
Well, exactly. So if you don't want people doing that, why have you got out?
And, people drink and do all that kind of thing all over the world.
Well, exactly.
But all these deaths just seem so suspicious and all kind of quite close together as well.
Exactly. And the police just don't... Either they can't be bothered, or are they controlled by higher people that...
I think the mafia kind of controls what goes on in the island, and I think the police are corrupt.
Yeah. That's
my opinion only.
I'll certainly never be going there. And I'll certainly never be allowing my daughter to go there. Obviously, thank God she's only six.
Yeah. I think it'll be a while before she's asking to go to Thailand.
No, she'll not be going.
But yeah, I mean, like, it's just... Rather than covering up what's actually happening, because I get that the authorities or whoever, you know, they're like, this is affecting our tourism, because they're going to rely on tourism, of course. But instead of trying to cover up all these deaths, why don't they not try and do something about it and stop these deaths?
Well, exactly.
If there is murderers going about, stop these murderers.
Well, no, because, I mean, obviously the island itself does sound beautiful.
I mean, it looks beautiful.
You know, and obviously people do want to go there and live the life and enjoy the nightlife and whatever. That's what people do, and you know, that is quite a culture of a lot of the world, that, you know, that's what people do. And if you're going to provide that on your island and expect people to come and pay good money to do that, then that's not the, you can't then blame them.
I know. I just found that really awful, that's basically what that mayor did. He just blamed him for their own deaths.
Because I know that a lot of youngsters do like to go to Thailand, and obviously they do go for like the parties and the nightlife and stuff, so they are going to get incredibly drunk, a lot of them.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean to say that it's their fault that they die. Like, if they die, it's not their...
Exactly. It's not...
Stop covering things up and do something about it, because if this is the case and people are getting murdered, these murderers are getting away with it, so they're doing it again.
Exactly.
That's the whole point of having a law. Like, that's the whole point of having the police, is, like, to stop people from doing it, not to cover it up.
Well, it's clearly, in their case, not the case.
So there we go. So that's today's episode. So thank you, everybody, for listening.
And if you haven't already, please don't forget to subscribe, rate and review.
And remember, if you want to follow us on social media or get in contact or anything, their details will be in the show notes. Thanks for listening.
Bye.